Welcome to the Enlighten Up Podcast, where I am going to take you into a deep exploration of what it means to exist in this current reality. We are going to raise your vibes, open your mind, expand your heart, and dive deep into the wondrous mysteries and possibilities of this lifetime. There's been a spiritual catalyst that has set in motion the awakening process of many across the globe to return to the knowingness of self and unite what has been separated. Together, we're going to bring light into that darkness. We're going to remember the joy of living. But most of all, we're going to turn up the volume of our own eternal power and do the thing we're here to do. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Enlighten Up Podcast. I hope you're doing really well as we prepare for the winter solstice coming up in just a couple of days. It is our 12/21 portal. And of course, don't forget, if you haven't signed up yet, unless you're part of Alchemy, you automatically are going to get a link. But I am offering a live guided meditation on Thursday, December 21st at 1 p.m. Eastern. We're going to be talking about the Blue Phoenix Rising. This is the image I've been shown in my meditations. It is very transformative, and it feels like we are using our own spirit to burn ourselves up, the old us, so that we can embrace the new. So if you're interested in welcoming in the winter solstice energies, then join me for the December 21 guided meditation. I'll leave the link below for you to sign up. And don't forget that we are getting into the holidays, which means if you are interested in coming to the Forbidden Journey Retreat, April 24th, 2024, I would love to see you there. Prices will be going up after the holiday. So if you want to lock in the early bird pricing, I highly suggest you put your deposit down before the holidays are over. I'd love to see you there. So, and then without further ado, I'm super blessed and excited to be sharing the platform today with my good friend, Luis Solis. He is here today to join me in this very important conversation about the death and rebirth energies that many of us are feeling. It feels like we're being asked to really allow ourselves, the old us, to burn up in our own spirit in this blue energy of truth, all right, and to rebirth ourselves into the new version of who we are. And what we're going to talk about today and why Luis is here is because since he was last on the podcast, Luis, we talked about the angel of death and your experience with the angel of death. And you've had 18 months since that episode has aired, and a lot has changed. And now you're faced with a new version of this. And so, first of all, welcome back.
Hello.
So good to have you here.
Hello, Nicole.
You've been going through quite the journey.
Mm-hmm.
You've had a lot of information surface, and your world has been, well, I don't want to say it's been turned upside down, because you've been managing and handling it so well, but you were definitely graced with information that would scare many people.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell my audience what's been going on?
Sure. Well, headline is... B-cell non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, cancer in my chest area, discovered September 19th. So here we are, December 18th. You can do the math. Very recent. In all likelihood, it probably germinated only a few months before. And your first reaction is, thank goodness they caught it. But it doesn't quite happen that way, because it's completely accidental. I had returned from a trip to Mexico to discover I had pneumonia from goofing off too much. Let's just put it, goofing off too much. and had it not been for that pneumonia, they wouldn't have opened the proverbial closets that sort of revealed, wait a minute, there's something else going on. So they didn't quite catch it. It's more like spirit said, yeah, let's let something get revealed here. Let's see how Luis handles it and how the world handles it. So it's cancer, and it's been an amazing opportunity for me to grapple and grok with the meaning and the feeling and the experience.
Yeah, I remember I had just gotten back from my retreat in October, and you called me and shared with me the news of what has now been found. And it's interesting, like one of the things that I love about your approach to this and how you've been handling it, and I want to say, like, there's no shame in being scared, and I'm sure you've had moments where, there's been doubts and your faith has been rocked in different ways. But at the end of the day, what I love so much about your approach is this willingness to lean in and let go. And knowing that this is beyond your control, and actually trying to control it may be a disservice to the outcome.
Yeah, Nicole, this is a surprising capacity to accept and surrender for me. I didn't expect this for myself because while I might have been there intellectually in part, I don't think I was there emotionally. But what's happened is that for 4.5 years, in doing the work of full expression, which is guiding exceptional people back to life purpose, what I didn't see that was happening was in guiding them, in helping them to accept the incredible, the ghoulish, the incredible crises of life that lead one to lose life purpose. What I had no understanding of is the whole time I'm helping them, I was preparing myself for the most startling news. I didn't expect this. And when this hit me, I discovered a capacity to sit still and just feel into it that I didn't even think I had. So this is so surprising for me and welcome, and I'm evolving it. And so I am learning from this that one thing is to say, I will choose to surrender and accept, and another is to get ready for it and prepare. It's like a triathlon. I dare say you wouldn't go in a triathlon just because you think mentally you're ready. You'd better practice a fair amount. It may take a year, 2 or 3. And this is almost as if I was practicing for the cancer news that came to me on October 10th, but I didn't know I was practicing for it.
Yeah, I think there's so much happening for so many. I mean, I feel like I know so many people who are facing a variety of different health challenges, from your everyday kind of cold, flu symptom to extreme circumstances like the one you are going through. And the body itself is a messenger, right? It's one of our greatest, I believe it's one of our greatest teachers here on this planet. I've learned so much from my own body when I choose to actually listen and pay attention. And so I'm curious for you, when you tune into your own body and you kind of sit with this, what kind of surfaces for you in these moments?
I need to think about that just a second. One thing I will say is that waves of worry come and go. They're not with me all the time, but when they come pretty hard. I had one yesterday because I did talk to my oncologist during the day, and I've generally not been asking a lot of questions because I've just been accepting I am where I am. This is going to go where it goes. I have excellent experts. I have beautiful family in the form of great sons and support. And I've thought there's innumerable questions I could ask, the answers to which will change nothing about what's going to happen to me. Nothing. I mean, I'm sure of it. So I haven't, but yesterday I did ask a few. And I would say that it's a somatic feeling, though. It's amazing. This isn't just intellectual. I mean, it's feeling, the idea of no longer expressing myself in this body, maybe, because right now I'm through 3 of 6 chemo sessions. And all the analytics, all the science in the world, all the PET scans, all the MRIs, all they tell me is how far have I come along? They're not predictive. They're not forecasting. My doctors and the machines cannot tell me what will happen today or tomorrow. Nobody can. In fact, the only person who knows is she knows it and he knows it, and I will find out. And that's spirit. It's known. What's going to happen to me is known. It's actually decided. I'm convinced. I will find out. The world will find out. But no machine, no science can tell me my future. In fact, it's as likely I will be buried on March 1st as I will live 30 years. There's no difference in probability because no one has any information. And my doctors remind me, we don't know. Mm. We think this is going to help you. So the feeling comes and goes, and it's increasingly going because I've just let go of the worry increasingly, knowing, truly knowing, and it's truly true, and this is what I'm going to share with your audience, that no matter how much you may choose to worry and fill your days with questions, you cannot and will not know the future, and you will not change it, and you will not adjust it. You can certainly prepare for it, and you can be healthier and wealthier and happier for it, but you're not going to change it. And therefore, finding your own way, your own technique of having your body alert you to worry and upset and then tamping that down and calming it is my best advice to you. Figure out how to do that better. You'll be happier, and you're going to be no less healthier.
You know, one of the things that I talk about on this podcast, and it's been revealed to some people who've been on my show who've had near-death experiences. They've died, crossed the other side, and had experiences where they actually saw that they had multiple exit points throughout their life.
Wow.
So there's not one defining moment of death that where we leave, and that you have choices throughout the time. But ultimately, there is a finality to it at some point. So is there any part of you that feels like, and it's not, and what I love is that you're not attaching yourself to this idea that, well, I need to do this in order to have this outcome, you know? And I think that's part of the saving grace of allowing for multiple options to potentially arise out of the situation. And also knowing that you're at peace with the option that I think so many would be so scared of. And having that sense of peace actually gives you, to me, it gives you actually more power to change the outcome. Potentially, there could be a potential change in outcome. However, what I think is important is that for you, it doesn't matter. It can be a potential change. It could be the last exit point for you. And being at peace with that, how does that shift your perspective of your own life and what you've done and accomplished to this day? And then also, well, let's just start there and then I'll ask the next question.
Yeah. You know, you're reminding me of my couple of visits to Oaxaca for the Dia de los Muertos ceremonies, AKA our Halloween and their 4-day revisit with family who's passed on to their next state. And what happens there, and some Americans know this, some of them have been there, but it's not Halloween. It is literally welcoming, hosting, hanging out with, drinking, eating with, crying, and singing with your past ones, your father, your mother, your grandmother, children, your dog. And what happens when you're doing this is after a while you realize, well, maybe my sense of this body versus not this body is artificial. That's what's artificial, because it's just continuous. It's these people are being visited and they feel and believe it, and they're in the cemetery drinking and partying, and it's festive, and it's grieving, and it's quite touching. So what has happened for me is that on more than one occasion, I have felt actual joy that I may go home to my grandmother and my father and mother sooner because I love them so much. And I haven't seen them in years. Father passed in 16, mother in 17, grandma in 98. My grandmother was very influential in raising me. And I felt almost joy, like, guys, this could happen like really soon. And it hasn't been a consolation prize. It's been like, wow, this could be cool. This is also a prize. And it doesn't happen all the time, but I'm saying to you that that possibility has been very comforting and quite beautiful at the same time. And so what I have increasingly done is in this state of acceptance and surrender is just flow with it. Just go like, you know, I have today the 18th, Christmas is coming. I'm back in the chemo prison at my hospital for 5 days on the 26th. And let's just make this happen. And we'll see what happens after that, because there is just literally no point to worrying about it. It's not going to change a thing. I think it's been both beautiful and difficult with my sons, because, you know, we love each other very much. And their first reaction was, Dad, you've given up. You're quitting. Mm-hmm. How could you be quitting? This is not you. And I said, you know, it may look like quitting to you, but it's not. Don't confuse quitting with surrender and acceptance. They're different. I am not quitting. I am flowing with the inevitable or what will come to me, whilst my diet is better than it's ever been. While I'm barely drinking, I'm drinking a tiny bit. While, you know, I'm sleeping and resting more than ever, I'm not quitting, but I don't kid myself that that's going to save me. That's, you know, it'll contribute to my well-being, but no more than the chemo will save me. The chemo reduces pain and discomfort and clearly is doing something to the bad cells. But remember, when I'm in the hospital 5 days, 24/7 infusion of chemo, it isn't just the bad cells being killed. My body is being eaten up internally. Mm-hmm. I know it. They tell me. There's no arguing with it. This is like collateral damage that we hear out of Israel. And I'm not going to touch Israel right now, but there's a lot of collateral damage here. And I'll know the full extent of it half a year, 1 year, 2 years, 5 years from now. But it's part of the solution. And I accept it.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine that it's very difficult for your sons. I think about my own father and I think about how much he represents a solid foundation, a rock that I know I could always lean on. And it's got to be extremely scary for your sons to realize that, especially even your oldest son, that he'll become the patriarchal kind of figure of the family, and that a lot of decisions or just questions, it will rest on him. And that's a torch, you know, he's going to carry in your honor. And I can understand that there's this fear of, you know, losing that with you and what that means for them going forward. But you're right, you're not quitting. You know, there is a huge difference between quitting and surrendering, and understanding that I believe that the approach that you're taking is actually probably supporting the best potential outcome you could have, in that there's no resistance. And when we resist something, we're fighting against it. Yeah. And when you're fighting against it, you're exerting energy of control. Yeah. And when you try to control something, is that the best way to really get the outcome that perhaps your loved ones would love for you? And it's a hard balance, because there's no denying, there's only compassion that you can have for where your sons are at and what they're potentially facing down the road. And so at the same time, sometimes through this act of surrender, the best solutions are able to come to the surface, because there is no resistance. But also surrender, you realize that there's something more powerful than you at play. Mm. And you're like, instead of fighting you, I'm going to dance with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Now embrace. You know, it's interesting. You opened up talking about death renewal, and certainly how our incredibly challenging, demanding, troubling times are pushing many, many, many of us, leave cancer aside, to want to cleanse, want to renew. I want to send a big salute out to my older son, because imagine he's 30 and he had no idea that when you become the agent for directives for your father, it's not a game when you meet with the attorneys and they explain to you every provision of what it means to let someone die, disconnect them, the decisions to make. And he's going through this understanding, oh my God, this has got consequences. This isn't just a document. I'm being asked to administer these for my brother, my family, his estate. But I think ultimately he will find, as will Gustav, his younger brother, that it's for him. This will help him in ways later on he'll realize to perhaps surrender and accept the inevitability of life in a way that he wouldn't have, because he didn't ask for this either. He didn't ask for having to talk to attorneys and having all this explained to him when his friends want to go out and see a show at the Mission Ballroom or go play tennis. He's having someone instruct him on everything he has to do. So I just wanted to share that. Interestingly, for many of those of you in the audience who are working your way carefully through a death renewal cycle, I salute you. It's very hard, a very hard step. And I suspect you will derive some benefits you don't even expect.
Yeah. I mean, the ego loves things to stay the same because it can predict what's going to happen. Even if you don't like what's going to happen, there's comfort in being able to predict what you're going to face. And being able to go through this death and renewal kind of process in whatever capacity it means for you as the listener listening right now, you know, whether it's just you going through your own health journey, or you are you working and doing the job that you love? And, or is it like, maybe you need a different friend circle, or, you know, maybe it's changing your relationships with your family members, whatever it is, you know, death and renewal of your belief systems. There's something very exciting about what is on the other side, because you don't know yet what it is. But then of course the fear kicks in and it's like, well, I don't know what it is. What if? And we play this what if game. But on the other side, what's so beautiful and what I love about the metaphor of this idea of burning ourselves up like the phoenix, right? The entering into the fire of our own spirit and allowing the old us to be burnt and turned into ash, so that we can then take that ash and use it as fertilizer in our new future existence. And what's so important, and this is why we hear about like the shamans and our ancient ancestors and those who are much more connected to the land, understand that if there is a forest fire, that sometimes you need to burn the entire forest down in order for it to rebirth and be stronger and be more fertile. And so there is this process that we have to understand, that in the ash, it is soft, it is fragile. And that is us as we go through this rebirthing and letting go. There's grief. There's grief of the old us, the old life, the old way. But then there's also an embracing of what we're planting for our future.
Yeah, you know, one thing that occurs to me, and I want to really thank you for having this conversation today, and for all of your audience who either has or will guide themselves through a death and rebirth cycle. And my comment is, be aware, it's not academic. Like, I just saw an ad that said 99% of people over 50 have all of the cells and germs to have shingles today. Tomorrow, immediately have shingles condition, 99%. Now, the question is, for whom does that activate? Okay, so 99% of your audience here over 50 is carrying shingles that could be completely debilitating to their life tomorrow. Did you know that? And what do you do about that? So this isn't just, you know, you could end up really struggling. Further, one of the discoveries for my situation in lymphoma was understanding that lymphoma is absolutely unpredictable as to who will get it and when it happens. There is no genetic or DNA causation to it. It is a random combustion of free radical cells, and it just happens to some, and it doesn't happen to many. And they just say, guys, I'm sorry, it happened to you, and it happens to children and people in their 60s. I don't know why children, but it could happen to everybody on this line could have lymphoma at some point. It's there, it's waiting, and it's just a radical combustion. And you go, really? So you mean the whole time before October 19th, when I discovered this, or September 19th, I had cancer waiting to combust this way? And the answer is, yeah, you did. You weren't stricken by this. This didn't visit you randomly. Or it did randomly, but it didn't visit you from nowhere. It was in you waiting to happen. And I think that's true for all of us here to understand why truly living in the now and this moment and appreciating your loved ones and giving and being grateful now, and why taking these actions you're doing now is so important, because you do not know how many tomorrows you really have, nor do I. I don't know how many tomorrows I have. It's very clear for me today. But the truth is, now I know, I didn't know before September 19th either, and I didn't realize it. I wasn't aware that I didn't know how many tomorrows I had. And nor does anybody here. So we truly are encouraged to optimize our lives this very moment.
So much fear can come up and paralyze us from taking that action, you know, stepping forward, because of all the different narratives and beliefs and stories that we tell ourselves of why we can't, or why it's not possible, or why the time is not right. You know, the ego loves to come up with all these different narratives, and some of it's generational, some of it's, you know, these generational traumatic beliefs that are passed down through our DNA, and we don't know why we react to certain things and all that. But, you know, I feel like for the last 2 months, something that I've noticed just even in the energies and with a lot of clients and people in my audience and through their comments in the comment section of my video, confirming, there seems to be a lot pulled up to the surface, things that we've buried, things that we've like, no, maybe not just yet. Maybe now's not the time. Maybe I can do that later. And it just feels there's something here on the planet that is forcing so many of us to confront the things by them surfacing, whether it's through health instances, changes in our health, or changes in our security, whether it's financially, whether it's with your job, whether it's with your relationships, you know, whatever it might be, there seems to be a shakeup in what felt okay or safe, where the place where we felt enough to be maybe complacent, but now we can't be complacent. And it's manifesting as in, oh shit, you know, I don't like this feeling. Why do I feel all this anxiety? Why do I feel this overwhelming sense of fear sometimes surfacing? And what do I do with it? And I think it's because deep down, so many of us are having to face these things that we've thought, maybe I have more time, I don't need to, but I don't feel there's something that's going on the planet that feels like so many of us, it's time now. Like, you don't get to put it off. And how you deal with it will determine, you know, many different trajectories of where we can go with it. But it feels to me that many of us are going through a death of old versions as we confront the things that we didn't want to. And with everything that you're going through, this is what I love, but I don't think my audience, well, they wouldn't know because we haven't said it. But one of the things that I love about you is how much you don't give a fuck, you know? And I remember when I came to visit, you were downtown here in Denver and you were staying at, you were like, I'm just going to take the weekend and spend it at the hotel, you know, come visit me for a drink. I'll have a hot tea. And, you know, I met up with you in just outside the restaurant bar, And you were there in your robe, you know, in a ball cap and a robe and your slippers. And we walked into this very, very nice restaurant bar, you know, where everyone's dressed up. And I'm walking with you in your robe and your ball cap and your slippers. And we sat down. I had a glass of wine. You had a hot tea. And it was moments like that where it's like, yeah, you know, you want to be you and comfortable and take care of you. And this idea of really just embracing where you're at and enjoying the moments that you have in true Louise fashion.
You know, one thing that you bring up is this phenomenon we're all feeling, which is this, we're being bombarded by extreme life world events in every direction, all of us, from our communities to countries to resources to weather to food to money, on the one hand. On the other, we increasingly feel less control. I mean, this is a perfect storm for freaking anybody out. Like,
yes.
First, I can't predict the next headline that's going to freak me out. And second, all my control techniques don't seem to work anymore.
Exactly.
And what I think you're talking about is the alternative is live with intention and act. There is no other answer. What are you going to do? Just be beaten up by random events and feel powerless? You're better off going through this cycle of death renewal, however you want to do it, and decide, what are the few things I will intend and act and do? They don't have to be right. And that's why I wear that bathroom of slippers. I don't care. If I'm going to have to worry about how I look like at this point with cancer, are you kidding me? I got way bigger things to worry about
than
do you like my slippers. Like, truly? You think I care whether you like my slippers? I mean, I'm going to wear slippers because I feel really comfortable. But for all of you, by being intentional on how you will live for yourself and others and with others, and by acting, you actually have the best possible recipe to deal with less control and random events impacting you.
Agreed. Agreed. Very important point to make. And I do feel like, yeah, that's what is coming up for us is, can you let go of control? Can you surrender? And that's a very difficult place to be when shit is hitting the fan.
Absolutely. No, because it's our instinct whenever we're in trouble is to want to control more. And there's nothing wrong with protecting ourselves and being safe and responsible, but understand, increasingly, we control less and less. Just look at, you know, if we look at our friendship, look, employment with big companies used to be safe. How safe is it now? How, I don't care how big the company is. I don't care what your title is. How safe? How much do you control your destiny, your next promotion? Get out of here. It's really hard. And, you know, so I keep being asked by people, well, but should I take the risky position of going with a smaller company or starting one? I'm like, dude, that may not be riskier. That actually may be safer. You may be taking the safer position because at least you're being intentional and you're acting versus waiting for the axe or guillotine to fall.
Yes, because I saw this quote by Hunter S. Thompson the other day, and it was something along the lines of a man who waits and procrastinates to act will have his circumstances determined by something external.
Yeah. Or for him, the decisions will be made for him.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't want to make them yourself. They'll be made for you.
Yeah. You don't get to choose, but ultimately you did choose.
Yeah.
You did choose by not choosing.
Exactly. You let somebody else choose for you. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think what happens is so often we have these idealistic versions of what our life can be like if we're living out our dreams and not realizing what it takes to get there, because in order to have those dreams, they can't be built on the same foundation on which you are living now. Right. Yeah. You have to take that foundation down and rebuild.
Yeah.
And it takes time and it takes effort. And that is a really scary place to be, because when shit is hitting the fan and when things seem chaotic and things seem completely out of your control, it's because you have, to some degree, surrendered to spirit already. There's a part of you that did already surrender to spirit and saying, okay, I'm ready for the change. Well, the change is big. The change is uncomfortable. And we often forget that the path to this idealistic vision that we may have that could turn out that way, it could, isn't wrapped in the wrapping paper that we believe.
No. Yeah, Nicole, you remind me to share the phenomenon of clients we serve at Full Expression, because these are people, very successful, exceptionally successful. These women and men have it all. And one day, they lose life purpose. They get stuck one day. And the question they ask themselves is, how could this happen to me? I had it figured out. I'm the minister with 10,000 congregants. I'm the hedge fund guy who makes more money and more returns than anybody. I'm the CEO, serial CEO, thinks things public. And I have no idea what my life purpose is, what I'm going to do myself. And what's happened to many of them is, they were following the script that they had told themselves was their script. It could be their father's script, their mother's, their grandfather's. It could be their role models. They were following the program that was the success program. And what they didn't realize is they were personally shifting, humanly, spiritually shifting. And one day the disalignment between who they have become and are becoming and what they were doing was so big, they can no longer embrace that life purpose. It's so uncomfortable, so overwhelming that they're stuck and they're in panic mode saying, now what do I do? I don't want to keep doing this. I'm not the Fed hedge fund guy who makes the most money than anybody else. I could, but I'm miserable. I don't need another 5 Birkin bags. I don't need another Ferrari. I am disgusted with my car collection. I want to just give it away. And what we like about this is that these are people willing to walk through the gauntlet and the foundry to literally burn up the old version, because that's what's going to have to happen to emerge in this death and renewal cycle, accepting their new them, their next version. It's identical to the thesis you put out here.
And it's important to understand that meaning and purpose obviously are not found in the external, whatever that external is. It comes from a deep intimacy of knowing who you are. And oftentimes we don't know who we are because we're too busy becoming the version that we think our parents want us to be, or the world wants us to be, or the religion wants us to be, or our school wanted, our teacher wanted us to be, whatever it might be. And because we're so disconnected with our truth and our own deeper knowing of who we are, then the meaning and purpose gets lost, because meaning and purpose is actually found in the fire of your own passion. But the fire of your own passion is lost when you discard the parts of yourself that you don't care to know, because maybe they're wrapped up in some trauma. Maybe they're wrapped up in some painful event that happened in your life. And so to discard the painful event, you have to lose a part of you that actually had deep passion attached to it. And becoming intimate with those parts that we've discarded, which we often call soul fractal healing, is the path to discovering what that purpose and meaning is. And sometimes to get clearer, you do have to take things away. You have to shed to find what has been covered for so long.
Yeah, well put. Brilliantly put. Yeah, touche.
Do you find a newer version of yourself emerging through this whole process? A part of you that you weren't aware of, or that you're starting to get to know in a more intimate way? Maybe it was a part that you did used to know and it got buried, or anything kind of surfacing for you?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I'm early in discovering that, and it's very much in sync with what you just said, Nicole, a moment ago, that I am discovering, accepting a Luis that I've always been, that I denied and I'd covered up and hid, and I dressed up in certain masks and jackets and coats to be the MBA JD from Stanford because I have to look a certain way. That he's been there all along waiting to be claimed and take the lead role, but I wasn't ready. I maybe didn't think he was powerful enough or, cool enough or whatever. But now I find that that softer, kinder, comfortable Louise who I am is just fine because that's who I am. I am, I am prepared and willing, and I'm working on just accepting what is already there. So I would drop the becoming word, and it's the accepting the existing hidden version,
The
which I
emergence.
often think, I think all of us have possible versions of ourselves that we have not been paying attention to, that
Yes.
might be more authentic, might be more comfortable for us going forward if we let ourselves be that person.
Exactly. And again, to that point, one of the reasons why I love that evening that we shared was because you didn't care what other people thought of you coming into a place, when you're in your bathrobe, which, I was jealous. I was like, I want to wear my robe, like, that feels comfortable. But I think I also picked up in the room, I don't know if you picked this up, but I also picked up in the room a sense of, I don't want to call it envy. It didn't feel like envy, but it felt more like, oh, that would be cool to just walk in here and be comfortable and do that with, ease. There's almost like a curiosity, I think would be the better word to use, that I felt in the room.
Curiosity, I think I combine it with awe and wonder. People were saying like, oh, what do I could do that. Why am I not doing that? I could
Yeah.
do that. It wasn't admiration and it wasn't envy. It was more like, well, why haven't I done that lately? Like I want to do that. I could, and it would be fun.
Yeah. And to let's just talk about this too, because I think this is something that happens often when a loved one is going through something similar as like what you're going through, and people want to come in and support and don't know how to respond to the news, of what you're going through. And people will almost treat you like you are dying,
Oh, I know. I
and as opposed to
know.
like celebrating the life that you still get to live. Do you want to talk to that? Like, speak to that? Because I think that's important to share.
Well, remember, we are your audience is probably more evolved and more evolving and potentially more awakened than most. But let's recall in the Western world, death is an end. It's over. Now, we embrace Toltec wisdom and philosophy at full expression. In the Toltec world, it's celebration. I mean, they talk about safe journey. Have a beautiful journey to your next incarnation. There's no tears. There's hugs, but it's celebration. And obviously, we can go into Buddhist traditions and Taoist traditions and even some, Vedic traditions that have a different view going further east. But in our country, what happens is I get phone calls from people. A, most are absolutely so uncomfortable to even say anything. They don't quite know what to do because they do feel this is an end. It's over for you. I'll never see you. Like I don't have, and I can tell they're really upset. I'm like, hey, could you calm down a little bit? Like this isn't, first off, I'm in treatment and it's far from clear what my outcome is. So just calm down. And second, I'm only halfway through treatment. So I think for some, it's really uncomfortable. And I think for others, the assumption is, the statement is, I am so sorry you are this sick and unwell. And I'm going like, you're starting to make me feel ill. Like I didn't feel ill until you called me. I felt actually pretty good today. So I'm not faulting them. It's we've been conditioned
yes.
and are conditioned. Every day we're bombarded by media shaping this point of view. And I think it's important for all of us to prepare for this when you get this, because for sure, the one comment I do get from the medical professionals, from patients, from nurses is, and it's got to be true, although I don't know if the data is out there, is like, well, a positive attitude correlates highly with a successful long-term survival rate. And I mean, everybody quotes this, and yet the feedback and the attention you get from people is like, oh my God, you're dying.
Mm-hmm.
How does your family feel? How do you feel never living anymore? And you go like, damn, you're depressing. You're depressing the hell out of me. Like I was actually in a pretty good mood until you called me. So there's a tension, and I think you have to prepare yourself for whatever condition you're in, prepare yourself to understand and empathize that this is where they're coming from. No one's trying to hurt me. This is literally how they feel and think.
Yeah. And I think it's, this is such a difficult experience to navigate for the person who's literally experiencing it. It's their body. Mm-hmm. And also those who love that person and understand that there's going to be a potential reality where their loved one isn't sharing this reality anymore with them. And so it's understandable. And no, we haven't been taught how to choose to experience this reality of life that happens to us all. Like none of us are escaping it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know, how do we perhaps handle it in a different way that would be more celebratory, but also let's not bypass the grief that's there.
That's
you
great.
Know that there's grief, there's potential loss. We can't bypass it and just pretend to be positive thinking all the way through and nothing's wrong. Like you can't go that path. So how do we find that balance? And I think, you know, one of the things through our conversations is understanding that, you know, you come to terms and you give space to discuss the potential fears and the potential loss, but you also create space to find the humor, to laugh, to go have fun, to still enjoy the moments,
yeah,
and not treat it like it's the end, but a reminder that nothing is guaranteed.
Yeah.
And maybe just this is an opportunity to connect and continue connecting in different ways than perhaps we've been choosing to.
Yeah. And building on that, Nicole, I've been asked, well, so as you're going through this, what are you learning? Like, what's different in your life? And there's two things that are different. Now, one that's very unique to me, and I think one that's probably available to anybody in a life-changing situation or anybody going through their own enacted death and renewal cycle. It's available. The one that's unique to me is that I had some homework to do in learning how to receive. And this exercise, just since September 20th or 25th, has accelerated and really compounded my opportunity to receive. And I'm doing much better. And it's feeling wonderful to receive because I have had many people, not just my sons, although they're wonderful, but friends and even the medical staff that just do amazing things for me. And the more I receive, the bigger their smiles are. And there's this virtuous circle going around of love and kindness where I can feel like, wow, well, if I can just receive, I'm really helping them give and vice versa. Like this thing is really flowing. So that's for sure. I didn't want to have to learn it this way, but that's one of the gifts. This is one of the gifts is I'm learning to receive much more. The other one, which is available to anybody doing one of these death and renewal exercises, or if you have a life-challenging situation, is sitting with absolute uncertainty in the unknown. Just
staring at it and saying, yeah, looks like fog, is fog, can't see a damn thing beyond 2 feet, and it's okay. It's all right. It's almost like my controls are sufficient that I'm not going to fall off a cliff. I'm not going to hurt myself too bad, but I really don't know what's beyond 2 feet or 1 foot. I have no idea. And I'm okay with it. That is an amazing tool that I haven't enjoyed in my whole life. That capacity just to sit still and look forward and say, I peer down this tunnel of infinity and I can see really far into a different place that I don't live in now. And it's okay. Mm-hmm. I can just sit here with that and be calm, and I'm not crying about it, and I'm not anxious. I don't feel a lot other than it's uncertain. I know nothing. I know nothing about tomorrow, next week. I know nothing about, I mean, like right now, I'm about to do a PET scan that will show me the progress since October 10th, my pre-chemo PET scan. And it's going to show my cell structure interimly. And right now, I have no idea what that looks like. I mean, I literally don't know if it's the same, more populous, less populous, if it's spread. It could be anything. I mean, truly, sitting here right now, it can be anything. And you can see how maybe you drive yourself crazy worrying about this, but it ain't going to help. You can worry all you want. It is not going to change that amazing digital nuclear PET scan picture when you see it, because it's going to be the picture. And even then, when you see the picture, here is the big learning. It tells me nothing about how long I'm going to live.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. It could show me 80% reduction of cells and I can be dead on March 1st.
Mm-hmm.
It tells you nothing. It's probabilities maybe, but it doesn't tell you the outcome. And the doctors won't tell you the outcome. They'll say, well, all we can tell you is this is how you did since the past. And I'll go, yeah. Well, doctors, what does it mean tomorrow? And they go like, we don't know. Well, no, what, am I going to live? Like, we don't know. Not a single one will say, oh, it's amazing. Using AI, it predicts you'll live 32 years. That's bullshit. If someone tells you they have that AI product, secret, don't pay them. Have them given to you free. It doesn't exist. I doubt it'll ever exist. Of course, there'll be some predictive power based on 10,000 cases that are dice. I got it. I know how that works. I'm in that business of big data and analytics, but it's not certainty.
No.
It's at best a hunch. It's at best a notion. It's not going to give you an answer.
No. And I truly believe that our belief system has a big factor in shaping our reality.
Yeah.
And I think one of the blessings in your situation is that the doctors really don't know. In some situations, they'll say, yeah, you've got maybe 2 years, or it looks like 6 weeks. And honestly, that is an actual disservice to anyone, because if they believe that, they can make it more real. And I think we've seen where there are people who've been told they have 3 months to live, and 5 years later, they're still living because they chose not to accept.
Yeah.
And it's not from a place of resistance to death, but more of like the will to live. You know, there's a difference. There's a will to live that could have a different outcome. And I think that in a way, your situation is a blessing in that people who are an authority of this, you know, are in the same shoes that you are. They just don't know.
Yeah. I saw this. I've been carrying in my memory and heart a little story of a now 89-year-old man on a Greek island who was part of a Blue Zones documentary, and that island's Mediterranean diet and lifestyle, and how they all lived to be 100, 105. And at the age of 60, he was diagnosed with cancer and he was given like 2 years. And mind you, he's being interviewed at 89 now. Okay. So much for living till 62. And they interviewed him and said, well, did you do the chemo? He goes, yeah, I did. But I didn't do everything. They wanted me to do radiation and surgery. I was like, no, the chemo is enough. Plus, I'm busy. I have to go tend my goats and garden. And they said, like, tend your goats and garden? Like, this is serious, sir. You have cancer. He goes, no, I know. But so is my garden. And so are my goats. Like, you know, they need me. So when they asked him at 89, what happened? He goes, I forgot to die. I had so much work to do. You can't believe my olives now. The goats have populated. The food I made, I don't have time to die. Like, I have to go work right now. And I've carried this story with me because of mindset and heart set and beliefs and what that can grant you. And I really do believe it.
And I think too, just even when you tell me, oh, I'm going out dancing tonight, you know, and I'm gonna go enjoy some music. And I think that's wonderful. And I think it's really truly important to continue living as you go through this. Like you don't stop living. You can adjust some things, you can take care of yourself in a different way, make some different modifications, but at the end of the day, you don't forget to live.
No. And I think that there's a line. There is a line of responsibility and
Yes.
accountability. And I want to salute Sebastian and Gustav, my sons, who remind me of that line every day, and they're
Yes.
right.
And they are right.
And they are right. But what I will say also is, it surely will not serve me to treat myself like I'm dying infirmed. I'm punishing myself and self-flagellating. That cannot help me get better. And so there's a line, and there's a few going out with my friend, Valerie B. Love the other night, and she drove and she made home. I got home at an early time. She said, "You're only allowed out for a little while." And I'm like, "Fine. Yes, Mom, I'll take that little bit, because that alone will bring me joy. I slept really great." And I think there's a line where you can enjoy a little bit, not much, and then, but remind yourself that no matter what happens, you've been given gifts and willpower to keep living until you know more about the future.
Exactly. And what a blessing as we head into this winter solstice that is typically here in the Northern Hemisphere known as resting. You know, and turning within and restore, it's a restoration period for all the hard work that we've done. And, you know, going into this beautiful season where, you know, for those of us up here in the Northern Hemisphere, especially us in here in Colorado in the winter, where we get the fresh snow and the purity comes in and we see what it's like to see everything that we've known it to be blanketed and smooth and pristine and given a new fresh start, a new perspective. And I think that's what winter allows us to do, is to gain a new fresh perspective on what's ahead and what we're ready to grow. But in the interim, it's time to take care of ourselves and to celebrate that. And I celebrate you today and your wisdom and the experience that you're going through, sharing that with my audience here. I think there's many lessons and wisdom that are imparted on all of us as we are going through our own journeys, our own death and renewal process here. So thank you so much for taking the time and sharing your experience and your journey.
Thank you, Nicole.
And let's celebrate today because we have today and making the most of it. And instead of souring our faces, you know, we can smile and bring joy in some capacity, and you just never know what that'll do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right on.
So, to my audience, I hope you enjoyed the episode and know that if you're interested in taking part of my death and rebirth meditation on the 21st, just in a couple of days, the link is down below for you to join and secure your spot. It will be starting at 1 p.m. Eastern time, and we will be guided through the rise of the Blue Phoenix energies. It's a really fun meditation that I put together for all of you. I'm excited. And of course, if you're willing to come to the Forbidden Journey Retreat, if you feel that call, if you've been feeling that and you want some sort of transformational experience, I promise you, transformation will be served. It will be served in very big doses. And I'd love to have you there. Tickets are down below and the links to sign up. And I love you guys. I hope you enjoyed this. Have a wonderful winter solstice and happy holidays to all of you as we head into the season. Be grateful for all that you have and all that is ahead of you in the potential, in the field of potential. Take advantage of it. Don't wait. Enjoy what you have and be willing to get a little uncomfortable as we head into the potentiality of the unknown. I love you guys and have a wonderful holiday. Thanks again for joining me for another show on the Enlighten Up podcast. I love you guys so much for all of your continued support. So remember to raise your vibe, find your tribe, and be open to the infinite possibilities held in the mysteries that surround us all. Thanks again for sharing the show with your family and friends. And if you're new to the show and you need to find out more information about me, please head on over to my website, NicoleFrolick.com, where you can join my newsletter. And please follow me on Instagram, Telegram, and YouTube. Keep your light bright, and I'll see you next week.